T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'd look at Twitter more.
Maybe the second most complimentary guy to us from The Athletic, Eric Name, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Coach Name.
Namesy.
Yo, somebody get Brian a job. He is going to be my hype man from now on.
Dude, this guy loves us.
Man.
No, he's introducing me. If he can be that nice to you guys, I don't even know what he can do for me.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, you're late at the game last night. Not late getting there, but late staying there late and getting up early for us.
So, Bart, this is what Freeman tells me last night. So, Freeman's just sitting here, and he tells me, oh, you know, always love talking to you on Friday, Eric. And I said, oh, you know what, Chuck, that's really nice of you to say. And he said, because it means I'm almost to the weekend. And I'm like, so it's not about my insight. It's not about the great conversation we have. It's just the fact that you're to the weekend. And Chuck started to backpedal, but I know his true feelings. Like, he's just happy that he's got an hour left in his work week, and then he's till the weekend.
Yeah, I told Eric, I said, hey, Eric, I love having you on Fridays. You know why? Oh, you know, thanks. I said, well, you know, because I know the weekend's almost here. So it was a roundabout compliment, man.
There's no compliment in there at all.
There was.
There's nothing roundabout about
it. Of course I like Eric's insight, too. He knows that. I just threw him a big bone a couple weeks ago. I like his breakdown of games.
You've just been a backpedaling machine lately.
He did. It was pretty fun. We had a good time.
Everybody's always piling on me. All right. That game last night, I mean, was that even that? I guess that wasn't surprising at all. I mean, because they played two games where they blown leads. I mean, it was just like this team to come back and blowing out an Indiana Pacer team that I don't think that's all that good, to be honest with you, even though their record is, you know, the third best in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, the Bucks kind of let all their frustrations hang out last night.
Yeah, I think that Pacers team is just annoying. They just refused to go away. They refused to die. And, I mean, even last night, The Bucks get a 20-point lead, Bud takes out Giannis, and you're thinking that that's that, and then the Pacers decide that, no, we're not dead yet. We're gonna try to get a nice little 5-0 run here. And I thought it was just kind of funny when Giannis comes in, he goes for 3 dunks and a mid-range jumper, and the last dunk that he had came on that kind of crazy alley-oop from Bledsoe that was behind him, that he was able to grab and then finish. And then I don't know if Chuck, you're able to see the replay of that dunk, but there was a camera on him from the baseline. And after the dunk, it just looked like on his face, it was like, really? You guys made me come back and do this?
Yeah.
Like, Pacers, you really just couldn't die? Like, you wanted me to dunk on you 3 more times? You really had to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I would agree with you, Chuck. There was a lot of, to me, it looked like frustration being taken out that, you know, they lose those two games, and that's the first time that they've done it all year, and now it's just like, okay, whoever was in line for this beatdown was going to get one.
You had put a good article out, as you always do, at The Athletic. Eric Name joining us here on Chuck and Winkler. But it was kind of breaking down some of the plays that happened in that Suns game and over the two-game losing streak, right? But there were some plays where, you know, defensively, there were some lapses. Do you account that to just, okay, it's a long season, long road trip, or are the Bucks still needing to figure some things out before they hit this playoff stretch?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of that road trip, a 5-gamer, and, you know, you have a couple teams in there that really make you play hard. Like that Sacramento team, whether or not they're the best team, They really make you play hard. And that Lakers game, I think that was probably the Lakers' best game of the last, I don't even know, month. But their season was on life support, and they were playing for it, and then the Bucks take care of that one. And then you go back-to-back to Utah, and the Jazz always play the Bucks tough. So, you know, you have a number of games, and I really thought, and I tried to highlight it at The Athletic, but, you know, in the video that I broke down, like, there was just just mistakes that you don't see from this Bucks team. Like Eric Bledsoe getting back in transition but not getting to Devin Booker. And, you know, Malcolm Brogdon getting caught up on screens. And the defense being a little bit late to rotate. Like, you just see all these things, and that's just not really who they are. But since the All-Star break, we've seen some more of that. And, you know, I think when you try to watch this team, I think for the most part they are very good defensively, and last night they got back to that. But there was, I do think, a few warning signs where they just weren't as crisp defensively. They weren't actually taking care of their jobs. They weren't as focused. And, you know, that can happen over a long season. I think that can happen on a West Coast road trip. And, you know, they're still 3-2 on that West Coast road trip, so it's not the worst thing. But, you know, I just thought that there's been some lack of focus since the All-Star break. And, you know, maybe I'm sure they're going to find their way out of it, because I don't know if Bud would allow them to go really any other way. But there was some of that. And, you know, I think you just kind of have to keep an eye on it and see if they can find their way back to, you know, being the dominant team that they have been.
You know, I've seen teams go through dominant seasons before, and I mean, rarely, but I mean, and they get to the postseason and they get to the second round and they can't get out of their own way. Would you be surprised if that happens to the Bucks if they just got to the postseason and they ran into some trouble?
Yeah, I've been trying to think through that, and I guess I think about that a lot because, well, I've watched the Bucks my whole life. it seems like even when something good is happening, something bad is surely around the corner, because that's just how it's been for the Milwaukee Bucks since I've been alive. And, you know, I kind of keep running scenarios through my head to try to figure out, you know, exactly what's going to happen. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe they run into a really good defense. And then I think to myself, well, you know, they're one of the best offenses in the league. And then I think, oh, well, maybe they run into a really good offense. And then I remember, oh, well, they're one of the best defenses in the league. So I think something fluky in some ways sort of has to happen. And the thing I keep coming back to, and it was something I asked Nate McMillan before the game last night, was the Bucks throughout this season have seen big men that can shoot put up career nights against them. This year we've seen Al Horford take a season high in jump shots against the Bucks and help bury the Bucks in that first game in Boston. You've seen Serge Ibaka two times this year. The two most shots he's taken in a game this season has been against the Bucks. And, you know, I asked Dan McMillan about it because they had a pick and pop big in Miles Turner. He's a guy that's going to end up taking a bunch of jump shots, and that's something that the Bucks are very susceptible to. And I asked him, and he remained quite coy. He wasn't going to say anything about, you know, what he tells his big men to do, because I think it's pretty clear, coach, they're telling their big men, hey, if you're a talented shooter and you're playing the Bucks, shoot it all the time, because we're going to make them pay for the defense that they run. And you saw first quarter where Miles Turner had 10 shots last night. So to me, that remains the thing that I keep coming back to. And if there's a reason why this team falters, it's because, you know, they've created a defense that gives up a ton of threes, which we've always been told is bad. They don't give up threes, and they give up a ton of them. They've just decided that they're going to give up very specific ones, and those are threes to guys that aren't the best shooters on the team, that aren't, you know, Kyle Korvers, J.J. Redick's, like those type of guys. They're going to give them up to big men, and the Eastern Conference has a number of big men that can make you pay for it. So to me, that remains the thing that, you know, if there's a hiccup, if there's a reason this team loses earlier than it should, it would be for a series one of those guys gets hot. And obviously last playoffs, we saw Chris Middleton get hot for a series. It doesn't have to be for the whole playoff. It just needs to be for one series. And, you know, if it would happen against the Bucks, I think it would make it really difficult for them to win that series. They still could, because they are so good offensively and do so many other good things defensively. But that, to me, remains kind of the one remaining question.
Talking with Eric Name, which is great because it means one more hour for us till the weekend, of course. Bucks beat the Pacers 117-98. You saw a little bit of DiVincenzo last night. My boy DJ Wilson got a scrub minute. You're seeing Gasol in there, Mirotić, Ersan, Connaughton. How much do you think Bud knows what his playoff rotation is going to look like for the most part? Or are these guys really going to be playing for minutes over the next 15 games?
Oh, wow. I think he knows what his rotation looks like in certain series. Because it should be, if you are coaching, if you're coaching the playoffs right, this should be sculpted to play a certain opponent. It shouldn't be, this is our playoff rotation, this is who we're going with, this is the only lineups we're going to play. You should be able to have some malleability in there, and that's something that Bud has talked about throughout the season, is that, you have to have different lineups, you have to have different ways to win, and that's how you put together a playoff roster. So I think part of this is just kind of getting everyone acclimated and trying to figure it out, but there is some, at least a little bit of concern for me, that they've acquired so many bigs here in the last little while that some of the more modern or, some of the, I guess more innovative lineups that they used earlier in the year might get pushed aside because, you got to find minutes for Nikola Mirotić. You have to find minutes for Pau Gasol. That's the tough part for me, is I just don't know, because we haven't seen DJ Wilson in a while, if DJ Wilson is still a part of that postseason plan, or if this is just a situation where he's going to lean on his vets and say that, okay, even if we need a big that is going to switch a lot, we're going to go with Arsenio Silva, someone who just is not made for that job. That's not what you should do with him. But maybe it, because he's a veteran, Bud trusts him. So that to me would be, kind of one of the concerns with the playoff rotations is Bud still committed to that great flexibility if it means sitting out a guy like Arsenio Silva? Or if it means sitting out a guy like Pau Gasol, because, I think Pau Gasol's purpose is pretty clear. He's a security blanket for the Bucks if they play the Sixers and Brook Lopez is in foul trouble. To me, that's it. Like, you don't need him on the floor at any other time. And I understand that's somewhat disrespectful to a future Hall of Famer in Pau Gasol, that's somewhat disrespectful to a guy that chose to become a buyout candidate and come to your team, but at the same time, that's the time that you need him for. That's what you need him for. You might not need him in all those other situations. So to me, that's like the one thing I'm wondering about in the back of my head in regards to rotations.
The Bucks have the Hornets at home on Saturday night. They are in San Antonio on Sunday night. Eric Name covering the team along the way. Appreciate it, Name Z. Have a good Friday.
See you, Names.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a great one. I'm just happy to get you an hour closer to the weekend.
You do. You do. It is now hour 6 minutes until it's time to crack open a couple.
Free. That's what I like to hear.
I knew I'd get you going on that one. How about that, player?
Yeah, no, you got me.
See you later, Namesy.
Yeah.
Coach Names joining us, Eric Name, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. We mentioned this once today, but I got to ask you about it again. Can you explain to me this picture you took with Bango and what happened?
We sit in the second
deck.
As the
legend of Chuck Freeman continues to grow.
We sit in the second deck for the media covering the game. So I go down the stairs because there's an elevator that takes forever to get down there. So I walk through the stands and I get downstairs. And, I'm standing in the pathway where the quarter that the players go, leave to go back to the locker room. So I'm standing there and I'm just waiting for the game to end in the final minute. And Bango comes up to me and presents me, puts his arm around me and puts his paw on me and gives me an autographed picture of himself.
So it was already pre-autographed.
It was already pre-autographed.
With a note.
Yes, on the note it said
he didn't see you and then scribble it quick and then run to you. He was looking for you last night.
Apparently he must have. And he saw, and I was there and he saw me and he gave me the note that says, "I know I'm your favorite one. Your dear friend, Bango."
Dear spelled like
D-E-E-R.
Wow.
So we took a quick selfie because I've said many times that I miss old Bango, and I was filming a video a couple of weeks ago, and you know, the current Bango came up to me and waved, and I said, "Where is the old Bango? Did you kill him? I miss the old Bango."
You told him that to his face?
Well, I told him as he was walking away. And I feel bad. It's not that I dislike current Bango. Now I like him really. He's been friendly to me. But I just miss the old lovable Bango too. And I'm going to find him. He's got to be either, and I think he's in the old Mecca somewhere. I'm going to have to do a hunt down. I got to find him before the season ends. I know old Bango's around somewhere. I miss him. I got to find him. And I think that new Bango is too nice of a deer to kill old Bango.
Well, this is interesting. You know how the Bucks have been hesitant to give us players for some reason as of late?
Yeah.
New Bango, current Bango, is on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Bango, how are you? Bango. Oh, they Bango gave us the one guy that can't talk.
Yeah.
Bango, oh. We're going to have to let you go.
Yeah, Bango can't talk. Mascots can't talk.
Bango, sorry, man.
So apparently Bango's good with us.
Yeah, Bango's new Bango. Good. We'll have to.
Or at least me.
We'll set up a video or something, Bango. We can't.
Yeah.
The Bucks get us somebody, and then it's the guy that can't.
We'll shoot for Malcolm Brogdon next week.
Yeah. All right. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.